Sweet baby Jesus, we're back again. Holla. The Joe Rogan Experience podcast is brought to you by the Fleshlight.
What the fuck was that?
That's just my new shit. I'm ready for a new opening. Holla.
Holla, guys.
Hey.
Whatever.
What's up? What's up? That's going to be the new thing.
Yeah.
Just like that. What's up?
Hi, boys. Joe Rogan.
Just gentle. What's up? That's the new thing, Brian. Go to JoeRogan.net and click on the link for the Fleshlight and enter in the code name Rogan and save yourself 15% off the number one sex toy for men. Right, Brian?
Yes.
They were there when no one believed in us.
They never believed in me until I got one.
What the fuck are you saying? You're not helping sell shit. Why are you wearing sunglasses, you creepy bitch?
Because Michael told me to.
Oh, well, if Michael Rupert told you to wear sunglasses, I would say wear sunglasses. Maybe you know something. I would like to get those sunglasses that Roddy Piper had.
Yeah.
Could you imagine if they had douchebag sunglasses?
I want Dice Clay sunglasses. Holy shit. Those I was looking at those dope. Going, I want a pair of those.
How awesome was having Dice Clay on?
It was amazing.
Shit. We're also sponsored by Onnit.com, makers of Alpha Brain, the cognitive enhancing supplement. If you're interested in these or any Alpha Brain or any of the other nootropics that we have New Mood, which is a 5-HTP and serotonin boosting supplement. We have this stuff called Shroom Tech, which is it's got a lot of B12 in it and cordyceps mushrooms, and it's like an endurance enhancing supplement. And there's another one called Shroom Tech Immune, which is a fascinating one, where it's a mushroom that actually tricks your body into thinking your body has a cold. And so it pumps up your immune system for a fight that never takes place. I'm not explaining it as well as it can be explained, but if you go to onnit.com, that's O-N-N-I-T, you can get all the information on it. The way we have it set up is the way we're trying to rip people off the least. And by that I mean, you when you order the first set of 30 pills, if you order it from us, if you don't like it, you get 100% money-back guarantee. You don't have to return it. You just say, this stuff sucks, I'm not into it. And you get all your money back. We want to make sure that people are, number one, don't feel ripped off before we even think about making money. And these are all things that I've taken. I've taken a bunch of them. I always talk about Bill Romanowski's Neuro One, which is a great one. I started taking that years ago. And that's how I actually, it's a dude named No Name from the Alice Morning Radio Show, Sarah No Name.
Oh, yeah, he's a good guy.
Yeah, No Name was working out with Romanowski, and he turned me on to that Neuro One stuff. And that was when I first got interested in nootropics. But it's a very complex and fascinating area of study. And there's debates on both sides of the argument that are fascinating. But I've been using them for a long time, and I absolutely believe in them. I can feel the difference between when I'm not and when I am. I feel like I think clear. I feel like it gives me a more fluid connection with my thoughts, if that makes any sense. Everybody's different. If it doesn't really hold up water for you, like we said, 100% money back guarantee, try it out. Enter in the code name Rogan and save yourself 10%. All right, you dirty bitches. Michael Rupert's here. We're finna get to the bottom of shit. I always wanted to say that. We're finna. I wish I could say it without irony.
The Joe Rogan Experience.
Train by day, Joe Rogan podcast by night, all day.
Just to clear things up, there's a lot of people in the MMA world that are saying, hey, man, Nick Diaz no-showed to a match with Braulio Estima. They were supposed to have a jiu-jitsu super fight, and Nick Diaz no-showed. And they said, are you going to take him off the opening of your podcast? And I was like, how dare you? How dare you suggest that I would ever take Nick Diaz off the opening of my podcast? That was one of the greatest moments of my life, sir.
I love it. It's one of my favorite parts.
And I don't know why he no-showed. I'm sure he had his reasons. Yeah. You know? I don't know what the fuck happened behind the scenes. I don't know who pissed him off. You can't piss that dude off. All right? If you want that dude to fight, everything has to be smooth as silk. Like the UFC, there's no bullshit. Everything's handled. Everybody's smooth and professional. And it goes off without a hitch. And he has no problems with anybody. But you can't be pissing that dude off and then expecting him to show up. He'll just vanish on you.
What was there? Was there some controversy? Like, was there a reason that he got pissed off?
There was a weight issue, apparently. They were supposed to fight at they were supposed to weigh in at 180 pounds, 185 pounds the day of the match. Like, he had two weigh-ins. And apparently, Braulio Estima didn't know this, and then he weighed in the morning. He lost the weight. He had to cut weight. He had to cut, like, 9 pounds. So he cut the weight. He weighed in the morning, And then he rehydrated. And but the confusion of him not being on weight or not knowing what the weight is or when to weigh in, it's real. That's where it gets confusing, because it seems like it's the fault of the organizers. It seems like there's a big confusion as to like when this was all supposed to go down. And then of course with Nick Diaz, you like I said, you can't piss him off. If you piss him off, he's just not going to show up, you know. And they fucked up in that regard. They should have had everything working nice and smooth. But I don't. You know, you can't excuse it. It was I would have loved to seen it, man. Nick is a bad motherfucker, you know, and for him to have the kind of confidence to get in there with Braulio Estima. Braulio is one of the two or three best jiu-jitsu guys in the world. I mean, he's amazing. And as a pure grappler, I mean, he taps out other amazing pure grapplers. Very smart guy, you know, and, you know, it sucks for him more than anything, because you know, he came over here from England for this. This is like a big moment for him as a representative of the best jiu-jitsu that's currently available, to have a grappling match against what is a representative of the best, you know, mixed martial artist we have available. I mean, Nick Diaz is in the elite of the elite. You know, he's right up there with the top guys in the world as far as MMA is concerned, as is Braulio in jiu-jitsu. And so that would be so fascinating to see them go at it. And it sucks that it didn't work out. I don't know why it didn't work out. But
it seems like all these guys have weight issues. Like, that's a huge problem. Why don't they just have like four girls on staff that just have to like focus on weight issues? They seem like they would be pros at that.
Well, they won't. You know, you got to leave that shit up to a fighter, you know. And this is a different sort of a situation, because there was a lot of confusion apparently as to when they were supposed to weigh in. And different people, like Nick Diaz, weighed in one day and Braulio weighed in the morning of the next day. There's obvious confusion. I don't know exactly what happened. You would have to sit both guys down and sort of piece the argument out, but it sucks.
I was just trying to get Nick Diaz to have some girls on staff. I was just trying to help the guy out.
Ladies and gentlemen, Michael Rupert's here, and he's going to get down to the bottom of things.
I am.
Michael Rupert's been...
I am.
I've heard that Fox Magic is particularly strong this type of month.
Fox Magic been working
this time of the month.
Yeah.
Fox Magic, it's working.
Fox Magic been magicking all over the place lately.
Yeah.
And yeah. But as far as what's going on, that's what I came down here to find out. I had to talk to you to figure it out.
I don't know if I have any answers for you, sir. I have a feeling anything that will be coming out of my mouth is pure speculation.
Good.
But from someone who's completely unqualified.
Well, let's speculate all over the place. Well, you know, there's just a ton of shit's going on, and there have been some major changes. And as far as my life goes, things are changing for the good all over the place. I've left CollapseNet.
Now, explain for the folks who are uninitiated, what is CollapseNet?
Collapse Network, CollapseNet.com, not Collapse.net. It's a company we started 2 years ago after the movie the dot collapse came out, and its purpose was to help people to prepare for the collapse of human industrial civilization, which is well underway right now. And over the 2 years, we've grown to 60 members in 68 countries, and we got really busy. We specialize in bringing really accurate news reports from all over the world that gives a real picture and telling people what's really going on, but also connecting them through a directory with 1,600 handpicked entries. That's free, the Lighthouse directory for. So the lights are just going on. Maybe it's a good idea to grow food, or maybe there's going to be more blackouts, or maybe this, that. So and a lot of work has been done over the course of a couple of decades by a lot of people. So we bring all that data there so you don't have to reinvent the wheel. And then we bring a lot of great feature writers and stuff. So it got to be big, and we had some big challenges. We got massively cyber attacked this year. Man, they just laid into us twice this year. And we had some big struggles. But the way it all evolved, and one of my lines is like, evolve or perish, you know, grow up or die. And one of my big spiritual lessons now is about letting go. It's letting go that really gives me more options. And so anyway.
Isn't it fun that you figure that out like later in life? Everybody does.
Oh, yeah. Well,
when you're young, it's like the big problem.
I spent 21 years in 12-step, and I lived that program. So letting go came to be something you practice when confronted with, you know. So letting go of Collapse, that turned out to be perfect. I gave the ownership back to the, you know, and I'm out completely, but now they don't have to pay my salary, and they're all on their own, and they're just so energized, and they're just so on fire. And now I get to step back a little bit because I'm a tired motherfucker. You know, I've been at this a long time.
Do you ever put nice stories on, like happy stories?
Sure,
like someone
we do.
Found a box of kittens and they were purring, and
all of them
milk.
Had beautiful smiles.
No, and everybody went home and they had a great day. Yeah. And the new episode of Game of Thrones was on, and we watched it, and it was awesome.
And they had fox magic.
What kind of music is that, Brian?
It's a fox magic song.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
We have a sound for it now. Do you think it's possible that civilization won't collapse? Is it possible that we're just stumbling and that we'll balance out? Is that possible?
Absolutely, totally. And that's one of the reasons why I'm going through this big change. I mean, we not only did I in two books and the movie and everything else kind of predict all of this stuff based upon a model that said that that means civilization is collapsing. So if you see these symptoms, there's a pretty good chance that's what the disease is. But now, just recently, Fukushima is so totally out of control. Reactor number 2 is so hot that any robots they send to the reactor get fried. And so they can't get into work on this melted core that's lying at the bottom. And then they've said no machines that can handle that radiation have even been designed yet. Oh, okay, that leaves Reactor 2 out. Building 4 with all the rock. That's
it. Hey, I think it's amazing, you know, that someone made nuclear reactors in the first place. I think it's amazing.
Yeah.
You know, I did a joke about it in my act, but it really is fascinating that you can build something like that that you can't shut off. That someone allowed them to build something like that where in some unmeasurable event where the power gets shut off and can't get back on in time, it's fucked forever.
There are 450 more reactors.
That's
around.
Insane.
The San Onofre's just had a major breakdown.
Where's that?
That's in San Clemente on the way to San Diego.
Really?
And
they had a major something?
It's down all season. So you guys in Los Angeles are going to be having some humongous blackouts this summer.
Really?
And brownouts, yeah. I'm surprised. See, we had that on CollapseNet, but they hide it from you in the mainstream news here. That's why CollapseNet's so good at what we do.
Whoa. So because of the... What's wrong with the reactor? That's the one that you see when you drive down to San Diego?
Reactor number 2 at San Onofre, right by Camp Pendleton.
It's a weird feeling to drive by and see a nuclear reactor.
Reactor 2, there was problems with the cooling pipes, and then I think they were checking another reactor, and gee, the x-rays showed some faulty piping, but now, so the reactor is offline indefinitely.
It is such a stupid fucking idea. The idea that you can make something you can never shut off, that you would do that.
Yeah.
That's so arrogant. It's so incredibly arrogant. Because if it fucks up and people are like, well, most of the time it's clean and safe. What are you banking on? If you look at the permanence of any fuck up, what a massive amount of time it takes before that area is not deadly to go near. If you look at the fuck up, we're talking about thousands of years.
Japan is dead. Japan is mortally wounded. And I've been saying so, and it's clear. Japan's economy is imploding. They are now a net importer. Their debt is like 280% of GDP. And
how are they getting their power now?
Very good question. Japan has replaced...
Was that a Japanese impression, by the way?
No, I can do better one if you like.
Right.
Don't do that. Okay. No.
Okay, so...
So Japan was, what happened?
They're running emergency diesel widely, which is, diesel's a whole separate issue worldwide. But they're running diesel, they're burning now fuel oil and coal oil, two grades of oil. And they're importing liquefied natural gas. Now that's where you build this $450 million floating gigantic bomb of liquefied
Jesus
natural gas, and you float
Christ.
It across, and you know, one of those things is almost the size of an atom bomb.
Oh my
if
God.
It goes off.
Oh
know?
My God.
So this is energy desperation. But
so crazy.
And when you talk about diesel, you know, don't buy diesel now, and here's why. Diesel shortage all over the world. In India, they got 30,000 generators to handle blackouts at the Taj Mahal. and the city that's around there. We ran that story twice on CollapseNet. And there's so many blackouts in India and Pakistan. They're all burning diesel, and they're short of coal. I mean, it's happening all around the world right now. But diesel's in really short supply.
What are they going to do with all these nuclear power plants? They can't shut them down, right? There's no way you can you can't shut it off.
Well, if you combine that, let me just take it a little bit further ahead to where the point of all this is going.
Okay.
Because from four different directions, they ain't going to shut the nuclear power plants off. They can't control what they got. Because electricity is industrial civilization. You
right.
don't have industrial civilization.
It just seems so ridiculous to put something like that in an area where it's close to humans. The idea that you can completely contain that insane amount of energy, it's like, it's so arrogant.
Okay. Yeah. That's one prong of a fork.
Yeah.
Fukushima. Here's okay. the second prong. One of the
AIDS?
No.
What happened, AIDS? AIDS just petted out. AIDS came out of the gate like Tyson. You know, AIDS was killing people left and right, but now you hardly hear about AIDS anymore.
It's the best diet in Hollywood right now.
Yeah, it also generates a lot of medical money in the medical business.
Do you ever read like that Peter Duesberg stuff?
A long time.
Do you know who he is?
Yeah.
He's the guy, he's the biologist from the University of California, Berkeley, and his claim is something along the lines of that HIV is like a weak virus. I may be paraphrasing here, in that when you're seeing it in people, most likely it's because they have a weakened immune system. That a strong, healthy immune system fights off HIV fairly easily. Mm-hmm. That it's not the culprit of AIDS, but rather a symptom of a depleted immune system that's from a variety of different things. And, you know, it's a crazy argument, because if it's true, it's like, how could this only this guy be figuring that out? This one biologist and all these other guys, they haven't noticed that?
I don't trust.
Is it that tricky?
I mean, don't trust any of the science behind
possible? That's not possible, though, right? I mean, it's not possible that AIDS is a hoax. That's not possible. Well, it's not possible.
It is definitely possible that it was man-made.
Right, but it's a real disease.
It is definitely
right?
possible that it was intentionally released.
You feel like that?
Yeah, I've seen goes way, way back to like the 90s when I saw these, but these were WHO documents showing the first outbreak of AIDS. And superimposed were WHO vaccination programs, and it was like a perfect match.
Wow.
You know.
Yeah, I don't. Obviously, I'm no biologist, but I don't see how one guy could be out there saying something like that, and all of his peers disagree. I mean, is that how it works? I mean, obviously, people think that HIV causes AIDS, but in this guy's mind, he's like, these people were all doing. I think it was drug abuse and partying, and that's what he was attributing to their depleted states. That they were doing like crystal meth and poppers and amyl nitrate and stuff, and that apparently is immune system crushing. This amyl nitrate is something that gay guys
that was
like to
big
do.
In the 70s. Well, I mean, when I was a cop, I ran into amyl on the street.
What would they? What they do? Just pop it and they smell it or something like that.
Sam
Kinison had a bit.
This is the story of the funniest dead body I have ever seen in my life. You want to hear?
Okay.
The story of the funniest dead body I've ever seen in my life. Okay.
Yes.
All right, and this is, I swear this is true. I was working Wilshire Division, and I was a P3. I had two stripes. And every Christmas, cops from one division will go cover for another division when it has its Christmas party. You know, so we were covering for Hollywood Division's Christmas party. So I'm driving up around in Hollywood, and we get a call, 6A42, meet the RA, dead body, such and such address, maybe on Cherokee something. So the RA is a rescue ambulance. So we pull up, and it's a three-story, standard California, really bare-bones interior courtyard open, balconies. And it's up on the third floor. And so me and my partner, we go walking down. And I notice that the paramedics are just outside. They're laughing their asses off. They're down on their knees. They're laughing so hard. Okay? And I'm going, okay, guys, this is the dead body call, right? And they go, yeah. And I go, what? And they point. And I go in, and there's this dead guy on the floor. And he was, I would say, young, 20-ish, light-skinned African-American guy in a Fredericks of Hollywood negligee.
Holla.
And he was laying on the floor and kind of spread eagle, and I look, and there is a broomstick protruding. from you know where, okay? Mm-hmm. But there's only about a foot of it protruding from you know where.
Oh, God.
And so the table had been pushed up against – it was easy to figure it. I guess this was before a man could buy a sex toy or something. I don't know. But he had been up masturbating on the table with the broom, and the purpose of the aimel was to strike it right as you come.
Right.
Oh. But what it does is it gives you an involuntary back spasm.
Oh, no.
And
oh, my God.
That's my amyl nitrate story.
And the broomstick went up his ass mm-hmm. and killed mm-hmm. him.
Mm-hmm. He looked satisfied.
What a way to go, man. Yeah, there's been a bunch of dudes that have gone asphyxiation style, right?
Yeah,
that's like the NXS guy.
And that's actually pussy
shit. David Carradine. Yeah.
That's actually pussy shit because, like, a real guy would do it the other way with the broom coming at you from, like, the bristle part side. That's the real way to do it.
Wow, like a man.
Oh, yeah, like a man. That's like none of this West Hollywood shit.
That's how, like,
I'm talking Burbank.
Gay Samoans handle it. That's how you, to rite of passage, you got to use a broom the other way.
Humor was good.
Fudge magic.
Yeah, that's a dumb way to die. Do you think one of the things I heard is like the big conspiracy would be that if you wanted to shame a person, you would kill them and make it look like they died masturbating like an idiot.
I mean, that's like in a couple of NWA songs.
Yeah,
you know?
Just leave a bunch of gay porns around. Like that would be the ultimate joke if you found your buddy dead. You're like, all right, he's dead. So listen, there's nothing I can do about that. But what I can do is put his dick in his hand and put a bunch of gay porns all around him, and then take pictures of him and then put it online.
That's
like,
cold.
I got you the
that
last. I got
so
the last
cold.
One, bitch.
I got
the last
time.
One. Come on, that would be hilarious.
Like with lipstick on,
like,
and shit.
Because if you knew, if you knew that guy and you loved him, and it's like the one last joke you can get out of him.
That's so fucked up.
It's so fucked up. It's so
cold,
fucked up,
man.
But it would be hilarious.
That's cold.
You got to have a good sense of humor. Come on, man. That's hilarious.
All right. I remember that.
You don't think that you remember that? Yeah, I remember that too, bitch.
That sucks. Why do you even release that into the
There's already photos of you out there with dicks in your hand and your mouth, and that's the golden rule of the internet.
Yeah, but imagine a real life conspiracy
it's not
against
real.
You.
Neo's back. Oh,
Neo,
now
it's not real.
Oh. Michael Rupert went with the sunglasses on. That's when he's going to get deep.
Nah.
Isn't that a weird thing, like that's a cool guy thing to wear your sunglasses? Isn't that a weird thing?
I tell you one thing.
What about that new
like
meme where the sunglasses come down? They go, deal with it.
I love it.
What is that? Where did it come from? I love it too, but where did it originate?
I don't know.
What is that from?
I don't know.
To deal with it. It's everywhere, though. I see it all over the place. Sunglasses drop down. Deal with it.
It's beautiful.
But how did sunglasses
get
to mean?
Be
cool?
I don't even know what that means.
What that means is whatever, you have issue with, why don't you just fucking deal with it and leave me alone?
Okay.
Deal with it.
Get out of my face.
Well, he's a cool guy. He's got his sunglasses on.
Get
like,
out
he's
of my
just
face.
Super cool. Yeah. But how does that make you cool? How did sunglasses become something that makes you cool?
Like, because you look different. Your eyes are, you look like now, you look like a fly. You look like a bug. And I've been wearing.
Well, you do clothes. Right there. Those
he
are
does.
Actually pretty dope.
Yeah. These record
those are
HD.
Oakleys?
No, these record HD.
But those are Oakleys, right?
No.
No, they're not?
No, they're just, they're video
oh, that's
camera
just the
glasses.
Whole that is amazing. Video that's HD. Camera. What a world we live in.
Yeah.
How long before you get a chip in your eyeball that just does that and you don't have to have...
7 days.
Yeah, well, this is probably going to be... We're going to be inserting shit into our bodies eventually. They're going to give you something that just works way better. Like this, all you need is this one little microprocessor in your body and you will never have a disease again.
Yeah.
If just bing, you have like this microprocessor that regulates your body. They put it right in your pituitary gland.
And it
regulates your body like a little micro messenger.
And then that shit's going to start getting viruses.
But every 10 years, they have to give you brain surgery and open it up to change the battery. What do you think?
Yeah. Yeah, but imagine if that computer.
Oh, hell.
Hey, Joe, imagine if that computer inside you. That computer inside you fixes all the disease and all the shit.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then that computer gets
that's
a
what
virus.
I'm talking about.
That computer gets a virus.
Oh,
and then
shit.
So you have to start making medicine to help that computer. So you put robots
or
inside that
it
computer.
It gets a virus that turns you gay.
Yeah.
Imagine that. They had a virus, and all of a sudden, you just could not stop your gay urges.
That would probably be the first thing, virus, right? The gay
virus?
What if
John Travolta had that, and all this time, people are just being mean to him, and they don't know that he has a disease? He has a genetically designed, like, a disease from, like, the Russians, maybe. If you know, if you wanted to do that, make someone like super aggressively gay. The government has worked on this, right? This is not a joke. Michael Rupert would back me up. Remember, during Iraq, they were trying to figure out how to make a gay bomb. This is not a joke.
They have
using God.
I can pretty much guarantee that with all of the hundreds and hundreds of billions of dollars that the black ops community has had to work with in the secret budget all these years, they have tried every stupid fucking thing in the world you could think of.
This idea was that they were going to be able to spray something down, like something blows up over these guys. It sprays all over them, and it makes them gay. I mean, they were really, like, looking into the possibility of that. They thought it would, like, demoralize them. Did they ever hear about the Greeks and the Romans?
Yeah.
Some of the greatest fucking soldiers of all time. They were boning each other constantly.
Yeah.
The samurais boned each other, too. Dudes boned dudes back then, and they were cutting heads off every day. This was a wild time. You know, you can't think that, you know, making these people gay is going to make them better fighters.
Well, you know,
they're going to fight for their boyfriend now. Fuck you up,
that's
man.
That's what the system does with pretty much everything. It takes something and it bends it. It twists it so that you accept a way to look at it that is a basic fundamental lie anyway.
Yeah.
You know, I don't think gay or non-gay has shit to do with how good a warrior you are.
Exactly.
You know.
Yeah, there's a lot of gay dudes who can beat the fuck out of you. No doubt
I got
about
my
it.
Ass kicked once by a dyke as a cop.
What?
I did, yeah.
Well,
Christ,
did you, like,
she was 6'2", and she could bench like 260 or something.
Oh, my God. Did you underestimate her? Did she charge you? Like, what happened?
we just called. It was a 415 fight at a bar, and it was...
What does 415 mean?
That's a place called for disturbance, you know.
Is 420 really pot?
No. That had nothing to do with police.
No? No. What is that?
That's a colloquialism. It's a native... You know, but as far as LAPD, no, I never heard of 420.
How did 420 become pot? Anybody?
There's probably a good history behind that. It might be a code in some county in Northern California.
Okay, so I'm sorry. So 415 comes out.
Yeah.
You go to visit.
It's a lesbian
giant
bar.
Dyke.
We go in, and, you know, and there's a fight. And you know, and she was fighting somebody else, and I go to step in, and she's... And she, I'm going, went flying back across the room.
Man, you got to be really careful because big women can knock you the fuck out.
Mm-hmm.
That's for real.
Mm-hmm.
There's some big women out there that can knock you the fuck out.
Mm-hmm.
I know a chick that's only like 130 plus pounds, maybe like 140. My friend Tommy Jr.'s girlfriend, Katie, and she can punch a fucking hole in your face, man. This chick knows how to punch. Like, and she's a strong girl. There's girls out there that can fuck you up.
Mm-hmm.
You got to be careful. Especially if they sucker punch you. Oh, that's terrible. There's a great video, though, of some fucking asshole who's yelling and screaming at this woman, and she grabs him by the collars and headbutts him and knocks him unconscious. It was like a security camera in front of a bar. The guy was just being a drunk douchebag, and the girl was badass, man. She was like a fucking character in a movie.
Cool.
I mean, she wasn't a big girl, but she grabs him by the collar and just fucking headbutts him right in the chin, and the dude goes out. It was hilarious. Yeah, it's a beautiful video. Have you ever seen it, Brian?
Mm-mm.
Pull it up because it's there's not even any audio. It's probably girl headbutts guy KO. Yeah, maybe. I don't know why I'm asking you to find it. It's probably a billion of those, right? How many videos online are there about girls headbutting a guy and knocking him out?
I can find it. Well, you know, I am the only guy in the history of the Los Angeles Police
Here?
Department.
No, this isn't it, man.
To have been bitten in the left testicle in the line of duty.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, Jesus. The was only it, guy ever?
Was it a slow
as far
bite?
As I know.
Is it because your right had your hand on it and you were massaging it and you were...
No.
No?
No.
Why did someone bite your ball?
We got a call. This was in a day when angel dust was on the street.
Oh, Jesus.
PCP. Oh, my God. It's the worst thing I've ever seen, drug I've ever seen in my life.
What is the effects for the unwashed masses?
Oh, my God. Well, it was supposed to be, it was designed as an elephant tranquilizer. That ain't the way it works in humans. It's a powerful hallucinogenic, but it gives people a feeling of superhuman strength. And they have it. They display it. You get a real thin sheen of perspiration, and you get this glassy eye look just like this.
And that's how I look all the time.
And these guys would, you know, throw five or six cops around. They would pull fire, stupid strength things. And quite frequently they had to be shot because there was just, they wouldn't stop.
I have a friend who got his finger bitten off when he was on PCP.
So we got a call. A Wilshire sergeant was requesting a backup. It was just south of the station, south of La Brea and Venice there, a few blocks. And we go rolling up. And here's this sergeant, Tim Wright, was 6'5". He's just backed into a corner in this apartment. And here's this little bitty black guy, about 5'8", like Sammy Davis Jr. But he's holding like a 35-inch color console television set above his head. Those things were heavy. I mean, he's and right away you know it was dust, and I was known as the fire sergeant. Sarge says, "Rupert, get him." So like five of us went in there, and you know it was just like one of the cartoon melee things.
Oh God!
We finally got him handcuffed and then flexicuffed around his ankles. You know the plastic cuffs. Called an ambulance, put him on the gurney. Two canvas straps on the gurney. Run over like. Torso and one over thighs or knees.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So we figure we got him. We take him out to the ambulance. Now, I stand up, but, you know, when you're lifting the gurney to raise it into the ambulance, you pull it up to...
Oh, no. Oh, no.
So he...
Oh, my God.
He broke the canvas strap over his legs.
Oh, my God.
And everybody went back to his legs, and then went, wow, he went like that. And,
oh, my God, he bit your ball sack. Yeah. Holy God. Shit. What is the recovery on something like that?
Well, it hurt a lot. Nothing was damaged, but the fear
must have been horrific.
Oh, like just God. Like looking down for your first time. Like
it must have been horrific.
Yeah.
It must have been horrific.
Yeah, so, yeah. I wound up having the nickname of Inspector Clouseau. not Kato, you know.
I got kneed in the dick once in jiu-jitsu, and I didn't know how bad it was. This is before I used to wear a cup. Now I wear a cup.
Smart man.
Yeah, and I didn't realize how bad it was until after I was done training. It fucking hurt like hell, but I figured it's just me being a bitch because I got hit in the dick. You know, like, oh, my poor dick. You know, because how you think. Like, it's extra sensitive. It's my baby.
Are you wearing a Dixie?
I wasn't wearing anything. I was wearing a jockstrap.
Oh,
and gi pants. I'm not. I mean, I was wearing clothes. I should be. What kind of wrestling are you doing, boy? And my friend Einstein was passing my guard, and he slammed his knee. And, you know, he's trying to pass his knee through my legs, and he just miscalculated.
Ooh.
And caught my dick. And I didn't realize how bad it was until I was taking a leak after training.
Oh,
and
yeah.
Blood yeah. was all over my jockstrap. My jockstrap was, like, filled with blood. And I was like, oh, great. My dick's bleeding. This is awesome. So, like a retard, I didn't even go to the doctor. Instead, what I did was I went to see if I could beat off. I'm like, well, if I could beat off, my dick has to be good.
It
can't be broken if I could beat off. And I beat off successfully, and it didn't even hurt that much. And when I came, it was like blood and cum together, like I had a chicken, like a little chicken egg. So I said, all right, well, let's see if this heals up. If it feels even a little bit funny tomorrow, I'm going to the doctor. So I peed blood for like two or three more days, but I felt great. So nothing didn't. I was just checking for any inflammation or feeling of irritation, or I think you know you just heal up. I'd like it's like would I go to the doctor if I did that with my nose? And the answer was no.
No,
I would because I've done it with my nose 100 times.
I would have drank a lot of orange juice and tried to make orange pee. Or, you know what I mean?
Try to make lemonade.
Yeah.
It would be like pink lemonade.
No, but seriously, that's something that you probably didn't want to get checked out because you didn't want them to like have to put something in your penis hole or something like that.
No, I didn't want to be. I didn't want to be a pussy. I mean, if it was my ear, I wouldn't go to the doctor. If it was my nose, why am I going to the doctor if it's my dick? I wouldn't want to go to the doctor if it's like infected. What are they going to do? How are they going to fix it? What are they going to do? They're going to put a splint on it.
Like Joey Diaz's finger.
Take two popsicle sticks and send it back in like a wounded soldier.
Yeah.
I don't know what the fuck they would do. I it was nothing wrong with it. It was just hurt. You know what I mean? It just needed to heal up. But if it was hurt, if it was more than that,
actually,
I would have noticed after a while. I would have felt. I was pretty sensitive.
That's a great physical metaphor for what happens emotionally a few times in your life.
When you get kicked in the dick, you heal up, hopefully.
Yeah, you heal up, hopefully.
Hopefully.
That's a good physical metaphor for that.
Yeah, it's very difficult for people to accept the idea that sometimes people don't want to be around them. You know, that some people aren't meant for each other. Their fucking personalities clash, and that some people have different ideas. It's very difficult to find someone that you can hang with for any long period of time.
Definitely.
Mm-hmm. We just got to learn to be nicer about the whole process. You know, it's the getting kicked in the dick emotionally. We've got to figure out how to.
Don't worry, we'll put some Fox medicine on that for you.
You know, I had a party recently at my house, a little kids' party, and a couple friends came over, including two friends that are exes. Their ex-boyfriend and girlfriend, married to different people now, but still great friends. Mm-hmm. And it's so cool to see that. When people can act like that and can actually really be close friends, like their kids play together, they go out to dinner together, you know, they go on double dates together, they're genuinely friends. So it is possible, but goddamn, for the most part, most of them end up like fucking like those air shows where they touch wings and just fucking go into the crowd in a ball of fire. You ever go to an air show, man? You ever go to an air show?
Oh, I grew up in an Air Force family.
Jesus Christ.
And I've been to quite a few.
Have you ever seen a wreck like that?
No. Thank God.
Whew. No. What kind of jets did you fly in?
I didn't. My father did.
You've never been in one?
Not in a fighter jet, no.
I did a thing for the Blue Angels. They would take celebrities up.
Cool.
Yeah, we went 7.5 G's. Yeah, and they don't wear suits either, man. You know, when they do their shit, they don't, like, most places they wear, some sort of a compression suit that allows you to deal with the pressure, but they don't wear them. They just do it all with their body. You know, they have to be, like, really in
They're
shape.
In really good shape.
Yeah.
A lot
it's
of isometrics,
though. Yeah. All kinds of gymnastics, lifting weights. You have to, like, really strengthen your body just to deal with the G-force. It's fucking incredible, man. The feeling is, it's amazing how much pressure it is. When you realize that, like, going fast doesn't it doesn't come free. Like, if you want to really go that fast, you have to move your body in a way that it's completely unaccustomed to moving through the universe. Mm-hmm. Like, the amount of pressure that comes from that kind of speed, it's like monumental. It's hard to even wrap your fucking head around.
I love it.
Dude, 7.5 G's is insane. And it feels like consciousness literally feels like an elevator door. You can see black on each side. It's a crazy feeling, man. But when they wreck hard.
Oh, I remember my dad was a radar intercept officer in F-89s and F-90s. Those are two-seat interceptors. He used to fly up over the North Pole waiting for the Russians to attack during the Korean War. That was his mission.
Wow.
And you saw a few UFOs and some strange things.
Jesus.
Anyway, so the worst, that it, and it was all Air Force. So it was in late 70s, early 80s, the Thunderbirds. We're doing a five formation loop, ground loop, and something went off, and all five flew straight into the ground simultaneously.
Oh, my God!
And that was like, you just go,
oh, my God.
Whoa.
Oh, my God. Holy shit, that's crazy.
Words fail, you know.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
What happened? How the fuck does that happen?
Something I'm not gonna say. It might a combination of pilot error and mechanical failure. Because everybody follows the lead.
Oh my God!
Nobody else is paying any attention to anything except the lead.
Oh my God! That's so crazy. Yeah. That is so fucking crazy.
Yeah.
That's hard to even think about. That's one of those things. It's hard to wrap your head around. You know what that must have been like to be a part of. And know that it's happening, like, right before the fucking plane hits the ground.
Yeah. They didn't even, you know, they might have had a microsecond to know.
The guy that took me on the Blue Angels flight was a bad motherfucker. I wish I could remember his name. I have it at home. It's on a signed photo. But we went through these canyons, and we were going, it was so fast, it was ridiculous. And we're only, like, a couple hundred feet off the ground. And it's just, when you realize what those things can do.
Yeah.
And just think about if you were on the ground and one of those motherfuckers was looking for you. Holy shit. God damn, that's scary. One of those fighter jets looking for you while you're on the ground would have to be one of the most frightening things ever.
Well, they fly too fast. I mean, this is where I have some expertise because of the life I've led hanging with some green beanie guys and, you know.
They can't see anything? They fly too fast?
They fly too fast.
So you need helicopters?
You would want a helo with a FLIR, forward-looking infrared radar for night. That's a third-gen night vision where you can pick out the heat moving very easily.
Could they use, like, a blimp or something, just float it up above the sky and get a big view of the sky?
They're doing all that shit.
They really?
They're little microcopters, and they got all the money. It's like Jack Nicholson and Batman. Where do they get all the toys, you know? Mm. They're just... That's what they do.
Why do they feel like they have to control things so much? Why is that?
Because
why does there have to be so much resources spent on this aspect of society?
It's the infinite growth monetary paradigm, but it's also people who have control, if you will. Some will call them the powers that be. I'm getting to call them the powers that were because they're failing monumentally. But they must maintain control. Otherwise, all of the crimes that have been committed for eons will come starkly clear to a lot of people all at once. That's like the awakening of the 100th monkey. Like, holy shit, we human beings really have been farmed.
What is
like
that expression, animals? The awakening of the 100th monkey? Because I've heard it more than once.
Well, that was in... the dock collapse, and it after the Second World War, and they were playing with the atom bombs. They wanted to see how long it would take to repopulate an island, so they went back to this island and 4 or 5 years after, and then they introduced trees and they got things growing. Then they brought in like 10,000 monkeys to see how they would survive. There was enough for everything, but the coconuts were slightly radioactive on the husks. So the safe way to eat the coconut was to wash it in the stream. And they taught like 10 monkeys to wash the coconut. And, you know, so they, and then other monkeys look, and then pretty soon there's 15, and then 47, and then 200, or excuse me, you know, 88. But when they reached the 100th monkey, all 10,000 got it all at once. Everybody just went, oh, yeah. Okay.
So then they all started washing the coconuts.
Yeah, and that's a parable about...
You didn't tell me this story the last time you were here, did you?
No. It was in the movie.
That's what it was. Yeah. Okay.
So that's a metaphor, that's a parable about a radical shift in consciousness. And right now, a radical shift in human consciousness is the only thing that can possibly save us. And there's a part of me, for all of the stuff that I've done bringing the bad news, which was my mission, that was my duty for like 30 years, was like to warn. And now the Fox Medicine spiritual message says they've had all the warnings they're going to get. But now I'm also very aware that this change of consciousness is happening. And I'm seeing enormously encouraging signs of that. One day we won't have to think about how we suddenly try to get governments to be honest or, you know...
One day, listen, this government right now, one day is going to be embarrassing. It's going to be embarrassing. They're going to look back. It is. I agree. All of them have been. We're going to look back on this time with shame because the people that are running this country, this very small percentage of the people, they're not going to be able to maintain it. It's just there's too much access to information these days. It's not the same animal as it was when this whole monster was created.
If you look, Joe... anywhere in the world, every government is failing.
Yeah.
There is not a government anywhere in the world that's succeeding.
Because the way they're set up is ridiculous. The whole thing is ridiculous. And after a while, people just, they can't take the inequity of it. They just, the people snap everywhere they want. Even this one, the best one there is. Without a doubt, I think America's the best setup there is. I love it here. It's the greatest country in the world. But, God damn, it could be better. It could be better by a millionfold. It could easily be better.
I don't think America can be fixed. That doesn't mean that I'm un-American. What I mean is I think the United States of America, as it's operating now, is not fixable.
Well, it's set up on a bullshit financial system. That's a real big part of it.
It's utterly corrupt. I'm Thomas Jefferson here. I'm saying this. Thomas Jefferson said you need a revolution every generation.
Have you ever thought about just moving to Hawaii and saying, fuck you? Have you ever thought about doing that?
No. I spent 4 months in Venezuela. That was an unusual story. But no, I'm up in Northern California. That's where I'm staying.
Staying?
Yeah.
Till the asteroid comes.
I'm planting my ass in there. They're going to have to come with a bulldozer and take me out of there.
You're out there making it happen, dude.
Well, I think.
Are you sure that this is all going to fall apart, though?
It is falling apart.
What is the possibility that something can happen that can pull us out of the fire? Something that's going to keep us from
The only,
slamming into the mountain.
The only thing that can keep us from slamming into the mountain is for the human race collectively to see it slamming itself into the mountain and decide to do differently. It's got to be a change of consciousness. This is not going to be a message written in a letter put out and a broadcast put out. Everybody's got to get it.
I personally think the internet itself is very psychedelic in the fact that it's responsible for a massive expansion of human consciousness, not from a drug form, but from an information form. The fact that the access to information is so spectacular and so the whole viral aspect of it, I think that human beings right now, this is a very rare time. Mm-hmm. We're in a balancing act mm-hmm. right now. But I think the information that we're getting from the internet is expanding consciousness as much almost as a drug would, you know, as an influx. If you look back on between 1994 and now, what a massive change in our society has come about because of YouTube and Twitter and Facebook and the interconnectedness of society, the massive extent of it is so much different than it was.
The evolutions before that. Via the net are mm-hmm. amazing.
Amazing. But I think that's going to influence the way the government works. I think it's going to influence who are the people that are in positions of power. I think it's slowly going to root out the old. The old system that's in place was all these fuckers were around before the internet. All of them, except Obama.
The old system.
Obama, you know, he should have been just a little bit old. He's a little bit older than me, so he was a grown man while the internet came out. He should have. Maybe it was too late for him too. Maybe it's one more generation after this where they realize you can't fucking lie anymore because there's new technology that lets you read thoughts, and then everything has to be done transparently.
I don't think it's going to take anywhere near that long. This old system is going to collapse because it will be satisfied with nothing less. It's seeking its own death. It's doing everything to kill itself. Intellectually, anything running this world right now is being defeated.
Do you think that's because the current people are greedy and they're just looking out for themselves? They're trying to just score short term and just get out because that's where the money's at, Michael Rupert.
I think that they're trying to...
That was good, right?
That was good.
I think they're trying to do anything they can to hold on to what power and what information they have because they do not want the power or the information that they have to be shared, and it's a total desperation move, and they're going to fail.
If I was a doctor for the world, and I looked at this problem, and I was like, well, I see what you got. This is a bunch of cunts that haven't done mushrooms, and they're running things. That's what it is. You have a bunch of old, greedy fuckheads that are just unpsychedelically inclined. They've never had consciousness-expanding experiences. They don't know the beauty and the love that you get from a psychedelic experience with friends where you realize how much of the way you behave and live and interact with people is just insecurity. It's just stupidity. It's nonsense.
I'm not sure that would cure everything. But
it would cure it all, baby.
I'd like to give 7 billion doses of DMT.
Yeah, I think it would kill the ego. I mean, that's really what you have to do.
There you go.
You have to kill the ego.
That's the dilemma. That's the issue. That's why I'm writing a third book now because.
Well, that's why everybody hates a chicken hawk. You know, the idea of someone who wants to send people into battle that's never been in battle themselves. Well, of course you're so confident. Of course you're so aggressive about this. This is not yours to risk. You know, it's the ego has not. You don't understand what war is. If you had been there, you would have a completely different sort of appreciation.
Yeah.
of it. You wouldn't be so callous, and it wouldn't be such an easy option.
No, I've come to a darker conclusion than that, Joe, and that is that these people literally look at us as cattle, expendable cattle that have been farmed for millennia. This is real Orwell. This is what it really is all about. Human beings are born and bred to be slaves and consumers to generate wealth. And that's the way it's always been, roughly since we started doing money this way.
Who are they? Is it a they, or is it just a series of shit choices that have left us in a situation where people are copying things? You know, there was a thing we talked about really recently on this show about the Salem witch trials. So the Salem witch trials, there was a woman who wrote a paper for a history class that sort of solved one of the major puzzles of the Salem witchcraft trials, and it was that there was an ergot poisoning of food. It was mm-hmm. causing people to have LSD-type mm-hmm. effects, mm-hmm. and that they thought that this was responsible for the original murders But then they kept it up as a tradition for years later. Then it became a hysteria. And then even though people weren't even ergot poisoned, it would actually become learned behavior. And I think that in situations like where you have greedy business people and they set up corporations and there's patterns of learned behavior that come about from the way these corporations interact with their consumers and the environment that they have their businesses set up in, and that this momentum gets carried away to a point where the greed and the bottom line supersedes human nature. It supersedes the idea that you are a group of people. And, you know, in the documentary, the corporation, they went over this, that a corporation tends to act as a sociopath. Well, I think we just have to make everyone aware of the accountability of their actions in that situation and remove that. Remove that as a design. Remove that diffusion of responsibility that you can get by being a part of a big group that does something really fucked up, but you don't feel responsible because you're just one piece.
From my spiritual perspective, and let me just add that... My DMT journey, my cans just went crazy. What did you do to my headphones?
What happened?
My cans just went. I went into an echo chamber. It's cool.
You all right?
You're right.
You hear it now?
It's on right now.
I don't hear anything.
Okay.
It's Fox Magic.
You never. It's Fox. Yep. That's my dog Rags.
For the folks listening on iTunes, there was a photo of him, Michael, with his dog, and he's got the glasses on, and it says, deal with it.
And
his dog has a fox face.
That's brilliant.
Oh, that's very
funny. That's awesome. That's
DMT Trip on the message board.
I want a copy of that.
What is his name? DMT Trip?
DMT underscore Trip.
Thank you, buddy.
I don't know if he made it, but whatever.
What was I talking about?
Fox Magic?
No.
Somehow or another, it came up. What were we talking about?
Oh, DMT. I approach that very spiritually. I do medicine journeys as part of my spiritual practice, and it's very important for me that I always approach medicine with a clear intent, and it's always to seek and learn something.
You better respect it.
Yeah.
You have to respect psychedelic trips. If you think you're the shit and you can handle it, it'll fucking throw you.
No.
There's a lot of people that
I spend days preparing
that don't do that.
Yeah.
Well, there's a lot of people that, well, listen, man, if you left hammers around, a lot of people are going to use them to build houses. Some people are going to break car windows with them. Some people are just going to hit trees.
Well,
some people are
retarded.
Close
friends of ours, it's like they go do it and go to the UFC, and I'm like, man, that's crazy. Like, you don't want that. Do you really want that?
You do if you're with Joey Diaz. You do. I would say yes. I would say if you didn't do it, what are you, a pussy? If you're a real Hunter S. Thompson fan... You're a fan of Hunter S. Thompson and Joey Diaz wants to do mushrooms with you at the UFC. Do fucking mushrooms with him. What are you, crazy? Of course.
That's not respecting the spiritual trip to me.
The fuck it isn't. What a grand opportunity that is in life to do mushrooms at the UFC with Joey Diaz. God damn it. That's the best seat in the house. I thought I had the best seat in the house as a commentator. I don't. The best seat in the house is the dude who gets to eat mushrooms next to Joey Diaz at the UFC. Because you know how funny Joey Diaz would be on mushrooms?
He would kill me.
It would be a non-stop chuckle fest. Everyone would just be howling, laughing, and you'd get to watch the UFC at the same time.
I might have a panic attack.
Sounds like the greatest day on earth. You might have a panic attack.
I think that it's just too many people. I like being with nature. If I'm going to go on any kind of spiritual trip, I want nature. I want to be able to.
I like how you're talking about spiritual trips while you're smoking a cigarette.
It is a spiritual trip. It's just not. It's a shitty one.
It's a tobacco trip.
It is if you're a native.
Tobacco
holds there's a strong ritual for
tobacco. Well, it also is a part of the ayahuasca ritual for some reason. Like a lot of ayahuasca arrows, I think that's how they say them. They blow tobacco smoke on people. Mm. It's part of the whole thing. Yeah, I mean, nicotine or the tobacco in of itself, and even nicotine has proven to have some really positive health effects. I think there's something about nicotine that actually is like good for your heart. You know, it's not nicotine that's really the problem. It's like caffeine. Caffeine's not bad if you have just a little bit. If you're fucking crazy, you're drinking Red Bulls all day and just.
Check this. I'm 61. Okay, I smoke. Everybody knows that. Okay, I just had a physical. Resting blood pressure was 60. Pulse rate was 60.
60. That's incredible.
Resting.
That's really good.
Blood pressure was 120 over 70.
You in really good shape? Do you do a lot of exercise? That's pretty low.
I eat really, really, really good, and then I exercise as much. I'm weed whacking 2.5 acres now, so that's work.
That is work.
You know. And
yeah. I mean, you know, George Foreman, when he was training for fights, used to chop wood. It's a well-known fact. Mm. You know, it's like real work. Mm-hmm. Real work is hard work.
No shit.
That gets you in shape, man. That's a pretty low resting heart rate, though.
Yeah. So, you know, what I'm saying is I'm just real sick of buying into all the propaganda I'm sold about everything.
Mm-hmm.
Because the way the people that run this world operate is they do it 90% truth and 10% bullshit. And because you're not trained to separate the bullshit winds up steering you.
One of my favorite articles that came out during the time that the Patriot Act was administered was it was on CNN. They were talking about how the CIA has announced that it's going to leak fake news stories in order to send terrorists in the wrong direction. Mm-hmm. And I remember reading that, and I was like, wow, that's like game over. Like, they just came out and said, we're going to lie to you.
That was right at the same time that CNN let it be known that the Department of Defense was permanently stationing military intelligence personnel in the CNN newsroom.
Whoa.
I screamed about that at From the Wilderness. That was my newsletter for 8 years. We had some great people there. We were just kicking Bush Cheney in the balls every chance we could get.
Why was it From the Wilderness? Why'd you call it From the Wilderness?
Because for my personal story, I'd been trying to expose CIA was bringing drugs into the country for like 18 years, and nobody had listened to me. Then Gary Webb's stories broke, and I confronted the CIA director at Locke High School, and the game changed a little bit. So I started FTW like a year and a half after I confronted John Deutsch, and I was a voice crying in the wilderness, but I was the guy from the wilderness that nobody had listened to. And then, you know, and so that came to stand for, over the course of my career, many hundreds of people and organizations who were all voices in the wilderness and nobody was listening to. And damn, we got it all right, you know. And there's some just amazing people I've met along the way.
It's an interesting name. I remember when I first found out about it, I was like, what the fuck is, what's that, From the Wilderness? I was like, it sounds very Unabomber-esque. Sounds like, you know, like you're out there
this was before
staring at the disease maybe. Society out in the distance.
Yeah, no, this was just, hey, you know, pay attention. We were pretty successful. We got to have 60 members of Congress, and we broke the Pat Tillman. The whole cover-up with Pat Tillman was a seven-part series we did at FTW, and that's one of the good things now for me about giving Collapse Net over to the employees. I didn't get a chance to do that with FTW because our computers were smashed in the Tillman series. I mean, police falsified reports, leaked to editors who were having sex with children and defrauding. And they really threw everything, but including the kitchen sink, at me up in Ashland.
Linked to editors that what? What was that?
There was my computers were smashed in part five of the Tillman series. That's right when we were nailing Donald Rumsfeld, and he was eventually forced to resign.
He was forced to resign because of the Pat Tillman incident?
Yeah.
That was what did it?
Yeah. He just resigned real suddenly, right, when Henry Waxman's Committee on Governmental Affairs was getting ready to call him.
What was the issue that he had created?
First of all,
if you wanted to have a bad guy in like a Batman movie that mm-hmm. was like a bad government guy that was actually evil, would not Donald Rumsfeld
Absolutely.
Be the fucking perfect guy?
Dick Cheney's right
He's
up
right
there.
He's right up there, too.
Yeah.
Both of them.
Yeah.
But so what exactly took place?
Well, we eventually nailed it. The series was being written by Stan Goff, who was my military affairs editor at From the Wilderness. Stan's a retired master sergeant from U.S. Army Special Forces Delta. Stan taught at West Point. Stan is just one of the most amazing writers and human beings and really cool people I've ever met in my whole life. And brilliant guy. And Pat Tillman's mom, Danny, contacted me trying to get in touch with Stan. And I immediately said we'd publish anything. And I drove down to the Tillman house in south of the bay and copied overnight 2,200 pages of Army records that she had been given, all redacted, you know, all blacked out in pages and stuff. But they were in files and sections and all this stuff. So I returned the papers and drove back up to my offices, and I flew Stan Goff into Ashland, Oregon. And Stan did most of the work, but absolutely, because Stan knew it all. So he decoded the documents and figured out who was who and what was what and where was where. I caught some things that helped. But Stan wrote the seven-part series that proved that Pat had been killed by friendly fire at close range. And the Silver Star awarded him was, I think that that was probably the most offensive thing for many in the military, was that that Silver Star was fake. That just destroys the value of the Silver Star. So we broke that story, and
this is similar to what they, I mean, it's been the Jessica Lynch story. They changed that story around too. Apparently, any story that gets released, any big story, gets doctored up favorably. And so this one was an unfortunate incident. It wasn't a murder, right? No one's claiming it was a murder?
Oh, no. I think
some people claim it's a murder.
I think Danny believes that it's possible that her son was murdered. I think she said so. She said so to me. It could not have been premeditated because it was in a FUBAR situation. It was not really combat. It was an exaggerated stage play in some respects. There had been some incoming fire, but it was like 300-400 yards away. A couple of Muj fired a couple of rounds and ran away, and here a whole lot of Rangers just start opening up on a lot of everything all at once. This is basically the way that played. But Pat Tillman's last words when he stood up before he took a 3-round burst from a SAW, squad automatic weapon, right here. I mean, it just took his head off. Were, "I'm Pat fucking Tillman." And that's not disputed. That's fully in the record.
Whoa, who is the guy that pulled the trigger?
It was a sergeant in his serial.
What was he just, was he on edge or was he trying to kill him?
I can only speculate here.
If you had a speculation.
Pat was a really smart guy and he was honorable. He had seen that the war was all fucked up. It was all lies that, you know, and he was disheartened. Now, here he was, a pro football star, right? And
quits the NFL in a huge move to join the Army to defend his country because he thinks that, you know, everything that you see in the movies is how it works out and you're supposed to rise up when your country gets attacked. As a patriotic American, he wanted to do his part.
Well, let me just continue with that a little bit. And he kept a diary. And so there would naturally be fear that he would come back, rejoin the NFL, and start bad-mouthing the government. But that didn't really factor into it. That could have been controlled in many other ways than that. Pat hung around frequently with special forces, and that's kind of a no-no in theater because one group does what they do. And anyway, that's just the way it works. And I think he was something of a grandstander, you know, a little bit.
So I think he was making a lot of noise, and he was pissing some people off, and he was complaining about how fucked up things were, and somebody might have put it to him.
Yeah. And I think he became a Ranger before he became a soldier, and maybe only Rangers would understand that, or SF would understand that, but... It's a totally Shakespearean tragedy. I mean, it's just like so fucked up all the way around for everybody.
Yeah. Did you ever hear the eulogy the brother gave?
Mm-hmm.
It's pretty intense too. I think it was something to the extent of Pat. You know, Pat's not in heaven. Pat's fucking dead. Something along those lines. Yeah, you know, he's an atheist or something.
Well, I'm glad you didn't know him because then he would have like lipstick all over him and they had.
Pictures, like, I don't even want to joke about this. I don't even want to joke about it, unfortunately.
But you'll joke about it.
I came close to.
But you joke about it with me?
And you didn't know Matt. Not if your head got blown off. If your head got blown off, I wouldn't put a big dick like, damn, should have tried sucking a smaller dick. It blew your head off, bitch. That'd be the last thing I would do for you. But, you know, Pat Tillman's like an American hero, bro.
Right.
The whole thing was sad. It was sad that he chose to jump in, and it was sad that it wasn't what he thought it was.
The truth is that everything about those wars the post 9/11 wars. Everything about those wars is fucked up. And when you start off with everything on the floor you're building on, that fucked up. The war that takes place on top of that field can't be anything but more compoundedly fucked up.
Right. How do you have a just war when you go into it with, you know, ulterior motives?
And lies.
Yeah. It's amazing that there's a lot, like a fucking army of people in jail right now. You know, it's amazing. It's amazing that they can get away with that level of corruption and not be accountable. It's really...
But they do in the world of ones and zeros, you know, the Cartesian world, measurable matter. And, of course, we know there's such a thing as spirit. There are things other than matter, but they operate as if everything is matter.
That's what we got to do, man. We got to bring them into the light. That's what we got to do. That's the solution to all of it. It's not even fight them. It's like they are us. They're just us in the worst case scenario, in the worst possible position, doing the wrong thing exactly.
I think that we are at one of the most epical times in human history.
Of course,
perhaps all of human history. And I really believe that what I said in the movie is happening. That our species is being forced to choose. Whether to evolve
or
to perish,
right?
To grow up or fucking die.
Well, it's obvious when you look at like what we're doing as far as like sucking fish out of the ocean and depleting resources and polluting things. It's like we're certainly not doing it in a sustainable way right now. And now I don't think it's impossible if we kept the population exactly how it is right now, it might even be possible to run the world the way it is. And use the resources. It might be possible.
Nope.
But as we move along, if it's not, how are we doing it right now?
We are overextended.
But we're doing it right now.
No. We are about to, everything is imploding right now.
Right, but right now, we're doing fine. Right now, we have electricity.
I'm
on the internet.
Okay.
We have food.
Okay.
It's not everybody.
This is the ego bomb, because this is where I've had the hardest trouble getting through to people, because they'll say, how long do we have? When is it going to happen?
Right.
And subconsciously, all they're really saying is, how long before it fucks with me?
Yeah. How long before I'm uncomfortable?
Exactly.
I want to read books by candlelight.
Like, here we are, but... you know, that's why CollapseNet exists, because we bear witness to the fact that all over Pakistan, cities are having blackouts.
I like how you said that, by the way. It was very authentic.
Pakistan.
Yes.
Pakistan. Blackouts lasting weeks at a time, same in Mindanao. India, major power blackouts.
Right.
Civilization is collapsing all around the world. And just because people choose not to hold it in their consciousness don't mean it ain't going on.
So you recognize it as an inescapable trend that only a shift in consciousness can alter.
Mm-hmm.
So if the shift of consciousness occurred, how would that alter? What would be the correct thing to do? If the human population was brought into the light and everybody sort of figured it out and said, hey, we have to act responsibly and stop being a bunch of greedy cunts, what would we do?
I think it would all spring from a fundamental overriding awareness, not a conviction belief, just awareness. You know, you're living it, you know, of the oneness of everything, of the connectedness of everything. That's the place where you start. And once you do that, among other things, you overcome the pairs of opposites. Good, bad, rich, poor, fat, thin, whatever. You know, this world of duality. And I think there's some amazing work being done in quantum physics that is totally bearing this out. There's some amazing research out. Amit Goswami is a quantum physicist, and great book out by David Wilcock. And other stuff a lot of stuff that I kind of became aware of along the way. So there's, I think, the awareness of that, once it comes or it flowers in the species, and pray God of spirit, it does soon. We will just automatically stop doing all the stuff that we're doing that's turning this planet into a living hell. Come on, the Gulf of Mexico is totally destroyed. They got shrimp with their guts hanging out in one eye and an eye in their ass, and crabs with half a shell. I mean, we've been running the photos of this on CollapseNet. So climatologically, there are plumes, 2 kilometers across, 20, 30 of them, of methane venting directly up from tundra in Siberia. I mean, it's like methane is 20 times more powerful a greenhouse gas than CO2. This mess is out of control. It's going to come crashing down. The only thing, because by calculation, I had a guest on my radio show, great guy, professor from Arizona State. I'm having a brain fart on his name. It'll come up in a minute. Thank you very much. But climatologically, there's an incredible study that says you have to stop all economic activity now, or else everything dies irreversibly as a result of temperature rise. It's hard science. So, on all these fronts, with all that stuff happening, I just stood back recently and I went, this train wreck cannot be prevented at this level of consciousness. The only thing that can save us now literally is a miracle.
Right. A miracle, a revolution of human consciousness. Mm-hmm. But if that does happen, if this revelation, this revolution, whatever you would want to call it, if that did happen, what would we do? How would we fix everything? That just seems to me that we have to ship things, okay? We have to move. We have to manufacture shit. We have to move it around places because people need stuff. You got to get food to supermarkets. Mm-hmm. You got to keep mm-hmm. growing it. You got to keep mm-hmm. keep a good cycle going on. Mm-hmm. So you got to burn something. You got to use something's got to run those engines. Mm-hmm. And then on top of that, you have to have at least public transportation. And then people are going to want to have cars. Okay, how are you going to get all this shit?
Drives you crazy thinking about that, don't it?
Well, it's amazing that we got so out of hand. We got as a society, we're like it's like someone who was just out of college and you gave them an unlimited MasterCard and you don't have to pay for the first year. And they just fucking went bananas. Mm-hmm. They went bananas to the point where it's completely unsustainable. And then you realize you have this debt of the way you're living. It's just it's so disproportionate
Kicker. Here's the ultimate kicker to all of this. There are not enough resources in the world to pay off the debt that has been printed since 2008. All the bailouts are debt.
So all the resources in the world, like as far as all the gold, all the diamonds, all the oil.
Well, how about iron and copper and food? But energy is the first resource, because without energy, you can't use anything else.
So that's amazing. So how is that possible that we have an economy that's not based on entirely what anything could be worth? That just shows you how completely full of shit the whole idea of the economy is. If all the resources of the world and you owe more than that, someone got fucked. Someone fucked you out of the whole world plus.
Yes, yes.
Think about that.
Yes.
Think about how strong the fuckery is in this economy. That it is so bad that literally we owe more than there is value in anything in the world.
To pay off.
It costs more to make a penny than a penny's worth. The same thing. I mean, seriously. Explains everything.
Here's the catch, too. All of that is founded on a premise of infinite growth.
Wow.
Infinite growth on a finite planet is not possible.
With finite resources.
Yeah.
Have you ever read Black Gold Stranglehold? Do you know the premise behind that?
Oh, that was, who was that? Was that Jerome Corst? No, that was.
I don't remember.
That was a disinfo book.
Was it really?
I had it on my disinfo show.
Really?
Yeah.
So it was a book that was, it did sound completely ridiculous. I was like, well, how is this the only guy that knows it. The premise was that oil was not a byproduct of fossil fuels.
Oh, like abiotic, yeah.
Yeah, that it was a process of it was like literally the blood of the earth.
Earth has an endlessly filled creamy nougat center that will satisfy your every desire for as long as your kinky ass should crave it.
What dirty. Of course. Evil vampire cunts people are. We just suck the oil out of the earth until it's dead. That's what we're doing. We're running our entire crazy business on the blood of the earth. We're like the craziest.
And that's exactly
tick.
What it is, too.
Yeah, it is the blood of the earth.
Oil is life. All we're doing is burning ancient sunlight that was stored in light. It's all solar energy in one form or another on this planet.
That's crazy when you really stop and think about it like that.
It is.
Oh, God. It's amazing. It's amazing when you really think about what it is.
Why do you think the natives call it Father Sky?
Because they were dumb. They didn't know about planets. There's a lot of shit they didn't know.
Oh, yes, they did.
They didn't even have fucking horses, man. We had to give them horses. Settle down. Fox
Maybe.
Magic.
That might be all fake.
Listen, man. Those are the people that came across the Bering Strait. And it was proven recently, actually, when this Mormon dude tried to flex. Because he, in the Mormon Book of Mormon, whatever the fuck that nonsense that Joseph Smith character wrote when he was 14 years old,
yeah,
that everybody followed along with. It was said that they believe that the American Indian was actually the lost tribe of Israel, and that he was going to prove it with a genetic test. So he ran a DNA sequence on the American Indian, and most of it is actually Asian. Most American Indians are actually, they came down from the Bering Strait. Siberia.
Joseph, 1860s running a DNA test? What?
No. Recently ran a DNA test on American Indians to find out the origin.
Because
if they were Israelis, he could like, see, this is the lost tribe of Israel. If they were Semitic, and, you know, I guess they could find that out. But it was not. It was the most likely that they were Asian.
Religions are business. And I really think, overall, Christianity had the best business plan. That's what it boils down to.
Yeah.
But what's happening now is people are also beginning to understand that part of this great awakening is that many of us are returning to wisdom that existed before the word religion even existed. It was the knowledge of the ancients living in direct connection with this planet and everything on it.
You can absolutely learn from other people's revelations that are written down and recorded. But the moment that people start attaching gods to them, and you're talking about a bunch of shit. You don't really know what the fuck you're talking about. If you're a human being, then you really don't know what you're saying. You're saying a bunch of nonsense.
Right.
You know, either you learned something or you didn't. But when you start thinking about things like Mormons or Scientologists or anything where it's like just even a whiff of crazy, it's like, how do you address that? Do you allow it to happen? Because I'll tell you, I've never met nicer folks than Mormons. Some of the nicest people I know are Mormons. They have a great sense of community in the Mormon church. I've actually been to services before because I had friends that were Mormon. I've been to a Mormon funeral before. They're very polite and nice people. And if you wanted to find like a religion where you said, well, here's a religion that looks like it enhances family life a little bit. They do a lot of things together. There's probably a lot of benefits to it when you get past the fact that it's based on some nonsense fairy tale
Mormons,
written by a young con man.
Mormons are also very, very, very smart in that they have focused on food storage and food preparation for a long time, and that is the single most critical factor for who's going to make it and who's not.
You have to bring everything back to the end of the world, doom and gloom.
Well, no.
We need to take you to
Disney.
We
might have a wake-up before
When was the last
that?
Time you were at Disneyland, man?
Oh, my God.
You know it works today. But you should go to Disneyland before like fucking Planet of the Apes style collapse of civilization happens and you're out there Mad Maxing it in your fucking biodiesel truck and you pass by the Disneyland when Anaheim is a fucking ghost town and you have to get in the car because the zombies are coming.
This sounds like a movie.
Yeah, it is a movie,
pretty
bro.
Good movie.
Woody Harrelson would be. It's like, what was that, Zombieland? Zombieland?
Zombieland.
Deuce. Zombieland Deuce.
Go to Disneyland, bring some Fox Magic.
Yeah. Yeah, just fuck up some zombies at Disneyland.
Actually, you know, if there were places to party, I can think of a couple more I'd rather party at.
Disneyland's beautiful.
Disneyland.
It's fun. It's a great
place.
Did
you end up going the other day?
Yeah, that was awesome.
Yeah, I want to go there.
Yeah, you go during the weekday, man. It's great.
Did you use the app? Did you try the app?
No, it was really, the lines were easy. Well, I go on little kid rides.
Oh, that's
right. It's a totally different experience. I'm not waiting for Space Mountain. I'm waiting like 10 minutes to go on the submarine.
The submarine, and I like the teacups that you spend.
Yeah, kids love teacups.
Those are fun.
Disneyland's fun. When they're your kids, it's really an amazing thing that happens when you have kids, is that you get the actual joy of them having joy. It's really strange. Like, I used to see kids having fun, and I'd go, oh, that kid looks like he's having fun. That looks awesome. And it would make me feel good. But it doesn't make you feel good like you're a little kid experiencing the happiness. Well, when you have a kid and they're happy, like jumping around and laughing and having a good time, you actually experience that feeling. It's like you live through it. It's amazing.
You know
it's
what,
amazing.
You know what I don't like? I don't like when kids have that thing where they, out of nowhere, they just like start grabbing on your leg and like holding on to you, and you're like a random stranger kid. You're at the Olive Garden or whoops, something like that, and they're just grabbing it.
Yeah, it's uncomfortable. You're like, get your kid. What do I do
like,
with it?
Do I start documenting? Like, nothing happened. Nothing happened.
Does it bite?
Yeah. I don't want to pick your kid up and have you weird out, too.
Right.
Because if some dude just picked up your kid, you'd be like, hey, man, what are you doing with the baby?
Yeah.
What's up?
God, see... what a commentary on this world.
Well,
you know, yeah, people would absolutely go automatically there. It's
but
like,
there's so many of us.
Yeah.
There's so many of us that the amazing spectrum of human behavior, it's there are possibilities you can run into people that are completely crazy. We all have in our day.
Yeah.
So, you know, in the world of martial arts and fighters, and I've run into some fucking crazy people. I'm sure your world takes that to the next level times 10. You know, being a police officer in Los Angeles, and all the shit that you've seen. I mean, you're like douchebag to nice people ratio that you saw in your line of duty is fucking hard to keep a cheerful profile.
Well, that's one of the there's a Jesuit mystic named Anthony de Mello, and he has a great line. He says, there comes a point in your life when your options are to either go stark raving insane, commit suicide, or become a mystic.
I want to be a mystic.
Yeah. Well, you are, man.
Really?
I think.
I wouldn't want to be like the Silver Surfer, dude.
Yeah. I want a Silver Surfer reboot.
If you could... Yeah, fuck yeah,
I want it to be like digital, like Tron style, like where it's like when he's flying, there's like digital
I enjoyed streaks. The first Silver Surfer. It's a good movie.
Yeah. Reboot that. Who owns that? Marvel or the other company?
I don't know. Wait, wasn't it a part of the Avengers? Or no, not the Avengers, rather. The Fantastic Four? No.
Fantastic Four.
Where was the last Silver Surfer? I want to say it was in one of the Fantastic Four movies.
No, I was thinking X-Men.
Maybe it was that.
Yeah, it is X-Men. Yeah.
You sure?
Yeah, yeah.
It's in one of the X-Men movies.
Yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Got to find out which one.
Fantastic Four was just that brick dude and that stretchy dude. And
yeah.
That was like...
Silver Surfer wasn't involved in that?
I don't think so, because I think Silver Surfer was straight, wasn't he?
I think he's like a god or something.
Wow.
I don't remember the story behind it. You thought you were going to come on for a serious discussion about the end of the world, didn't you,
silly man?
No,
that's all right. It's okay. This is like a download. I'm just checking what's going on in the universe around here. And,
well, listen, I just think it's possible that a lot of people, okay, here's a funny thing. When you're worried about the end of the world, you're worried about the collapse of civilization.
Mm-hmm.
And in the meanwhile, people see you smoking cigarettes. And they go, if you want to stay healthy and happy, why are you poisoning yourself?
Deal with it.
That will now be a meme. That will now be a meme that will spread across the internet.
It's beautiful.
But I mean... I was talking with my friend Duncan about this. We were talking about people who are like looking for chemtrails while they're smoking cigarettes. They're fucking poisoning me from the sky. You're poisoning yourself too. Doesn't matter. You enjoy it.
I am what I am. At 61 years of age, after all the shit that I've done in my life, and I'm alive and healthy. I got wounds and scars, and don't go there. And it's like,
just need that cigarette.
He's got a Pac-Man chop on the stick.
If civilization falls apart, do you have a stockpile of cigarettes, or are you just going to quit?
I don't have a huge stockpile. I'll quit if I have to.
Wow. Would that be the biggest thing that you would miss about civilization?
Mm-mm.
Or would it be the internet?
I would not. I'm tired of the internet, dude. I need a break.
You're tired of the internet.
I need a break.
I'm getting there. I'm getting there.
You're tired of the internet, too. Well, both you guys are pussies. You should go in a room together and make out.
I'm taking
the fuck
a
you
break
talking about?
Bit.
I love the internet. It's the greatest thing that human nature has ever invented.
Well, that's
human
where you're clicking invented. Right now. But see,
you know what I'm saying?
I'm starting to click in a different direction. I'm starting to click. I'm moving more to live in my spiritual, my inner life, and building my own lifeboat.
Sound like you need a night in the town. You need hookers and tequila. That's what you need. You need a limo.
Yeah.
And an Asian driver knows how to weave through traffic.
No, I think I'd rather just have a big party at my house where we cook a leg of lamb and all sit around and eat and smoke a little herb, eat organic food, and then...
And then Bigfoot makes it to the party.
And then anybody who wants to go off and make love, you just do it.
Don't you live up in Bigfoot country? There's Bigfoot sightings up there, aren't there? Northern California?
I don't think so.
Have you ever been to a swinger party?
Kind of yes and kind of no. It was like, yeah, I
like
guess
you
I
didn't
have.
Know going in, but then it turned into one kind of thing.
It broke out in the middle of it?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
I want to go to one.
Yeah.
You think that till dudes are trying to fuck you.
No, I wouldn't do that.
Come on, man. What's the hang up, man? Let me put it in your butt, man.
No, man.
Let me fuck your wife. You're no, like, man. What? Let's get out of here. Woo!
Is that a broomstick?
You're trying
let's
to
do
have
Burbank
too much,
style.
Yeah, Burbank style.
I got a feeling that broomstick story is going to spread.
I would imagine it would get on the internet now.
Yeah.
That's a ridiculous way to die.
Well, I have another one.
Okay.
It's pretty good.
Yes.
Get a call to a dead body in ambulance suicide in the jungle, Wilshire division then. And we roll up, and here's this dead guy in an easy chair. It's kind of like this. And I walk up and look, and wrists are slashed, bled out. But then I look up, and his throat's also slashed. Think about that. His wife was saying she committed suicide. How, you cannot slash your own throat and slash your own wrist.
Can you do wrist then?
Can't do it?
She went to jail for murder. He had been beating her for so many years, and she just lost it one day. And, 8 million tragic stories, but he was definitely not a suicide.
Why can't you do that? Why can't you slash your own throat and then cut your own wrist?
Well, can you do wrist and then throat?
You'll bleed out too fast.
You'll bleed out too fast?
Yeah.
Whoa.
The movies make it seem like you could like actually play a piano song before you die.
She must have been a badass bitch, though, if she could pull that off.
Yeah.
Cut a guy's wrist and his neck.
It's amazing.
People get tired of you kicking their ass.
It's amazing what rage can do, you know.
Fucking assholes out there. Yeah. We have to stop that, Michael Rupert. That's my number one goal in life lately, is to figure out how to diminish the amount of assholes in the world.
Get
off the internet.
Get off the internet.
That's the secret.
I became a cop trying to do that, and you know, clearly that's a losing battle.
That was your motivation to become a police Absolutely. Officer, to try to make a difference?
Absolutely.
Do you remember when you started to realize that the system was almost like unfixable?
Well, you acquire that in stages. I mean, I pulled one worm out of a can, CIA bringing drugs into the country. And I said, this is wrong. As soon as I get this to the right people's attention, they'll stop it immediately. Wrong. Of course, that was before Iran-Contra. And so that worm turned out to be all of human industrial civilization. It turned out to be the whole economic paradigm. It turned out to be everything was crooked. Everything was a lie. Everything was manipulated. I had a CIA friend recently who I was talking to, a former CIA guy, and he had been in a meeting, the first briefing of Bill Casey as a DCI under Ronald Reagan, Director of Central Intelligence. Bill Casey wore the glasses. Ran around Contra. He had been a stockbroker before he became CIA director. There's a clue. And Bill Casey took U.S. domestic cocaine consumption from 60 metric tons in 1979 to 600 metric tons in 1987. And that money went to Wall Street. Casey had his first briefing as DCI, and he said, gentlemen, we will know that everything that we are successful when everything that the American people believe is true is false.
Whoa. Jesus Christ.
I've been around, you know. I kept good notes. That's why I'm alive. I took really good notes, and I left a good, solid record, you know.
So you think you're alive because you've said too much already and there's nothing they can do about it, and it's like it's just out there, no big deal, let them live?
I also think I'm alive because Spirit wants me alive.
Spirit?
I've had Spirit intervene so many times in my life, and that's part of what the story is now that I have to tell in my next book, because there is something powerful and I think wonderful afoot here, and all I can do is tell the truth about it, but it would be dishonest of me as a journalist to leave that out of the work that I've already done.
When you exposed all this, when you exposed the CIA, when you stepped in front of the what was the man's designation? The guy you in Watts?
John Deutsch. He was DCI, Director of Central Intelligence, appointed by Bill Clinton.
That was an incredibly courageous thing to do on camera. you know, to step in and not just say that you were a former Los Angeles police narcotics officer. Is that what you were? Mm-hmm. That had caught the CIA doing this. But you named operations. You know what I mean? You gave out information. It wasn't just a blank statement.
I had a lot of shit.
Yeah, that must be the worst fucking case scenario for the creepy industrialist cunts that run the world. Some dude who wants to be a superhero. Some dude who wants to save the world.
I'm just pissed off.
I hear
you. Just fucking righteously pissed off.
For a good reason. And you don't want to recognize this, but that's a hero move. Okay? When a guy does that and stands in front of a motherfucker like that and you say what you said, it's Brian, do you have that clip? Pull that clip up, because for the people who don't know, who haven't heard this or seen this, this is pretty intense stuff, man.
Gonna make me smoke.
Yeah, go ahead, smoke. Well, it's a courageous move, man. I mean, it takes a lot.
I couldn't help it.
I know you couldn't help it.
If you're courageous, you can't help it. It's
what I wanted to get at was,
sorry,
what was your thought process, and what was it like when you finally got that information out, when it came out of your mouth? What did that feel like when that whole courtroom was cheering?
Oh, that was a high school auditorium. There were 1,200 people in there, and it was high. It was unbelievably high. It was like super peak awareness. You know how it is when you know how it is.
Yeah.
And it was like, whoa. It was like one of my favorite maxims is don't shoot unless you get a headshot. And I had John Deutsch in a headshot.
Right.
And I pulled the fucking trigger.
Wow.
And that cost him his appointment as Secretary of Defense.
Really?
Yeah. And
because you clowned him like that?
Oh.
He didn't have anything to say.
He was stammering like a zombie. He was wringing his hands. And
yeah.
You know.
He looked like the typical evil white dude that's exploiting. Yeah, that's it. Back it up so people can see it.
This is November 15th, 1996.
Director Deutsch, as a former Los Angeles police narcotics.